And you were listening to Savior of the Nations Come, which will be the hymn we're going to be looking at today on this Tuesday, November the 25th, in the year of our Lord, 2014. And with us we have our good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Tom, how are you doing this morning?
Well, after last night, I'm sure I was up till 3:30.
Yes.
Because in case you're listening to this delayed, this was the night when Ferguson went on fire because of the criminals that were involved in Ferguson who just wanted to get new TVs and new clothes and all this sort of thing. And it's a sad situation. In fact, there is some protesting going on today in Clayton and such. So I thought that just before we get to the Savior of the Nations Come, that I would have a prayer, if we would be so kind. So if we pray. Heavenly Father, on this day when there is so much sadness, and this is a week of Thanksgiving, there seems to be little to be thankful for. But we do appreciate that even with all the tragedy and the burning of the 12 buildings, as well as the looting and the shooting of gunfire, that no one was killed. Only you could make sure of that. And we pray indeed that peace will be restored to this area and that those who have the task of working on that peace will be used properly in the coming days, so that peace may be restored as you have indicated by your first use of the law, namely that of curbing wickedness. We ask all this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Okay, I'm going to talk more at length on this tomorrow, Mark, but I didn't want to interrupt our Savior of the Nations Come. Now, this is a interesting hymn.
It's a great hymn.
Because it begins what?
The new church year, the new liturgical year of the season of Advent.
So explain a little bit, what do you mean by church year? How come we're doing it now and not in January?
Well, the church year is, it takes us through Christ's, the promises of Jesus Christ, his coming, his epiphany, that is when he was made manifest through his miracles and his preaching, the gospel, and finally, of course, then his the season of Lent, where we recall his passion, the season of Easter, which dwells, of course, on his blessed resurrection, and then we have the Pentecost season, which talks about the growth and spread of the church.
So what you're saying is the church year actually begins in December,
yeah,
rather than January. It's not like the calendar year, and it goes through the various events of Christ's life, beginning, of course, with his birth.
Right. With the Advent, the first Sunday of Advent is this coming Sunday, which is what, the 29th of November?
I don't know. All I know is
you got to watch the calendar there, Tom.
Yeah, I better, because I'm preaching at Wildwood this week. One of my good friends, Steve Reardon, is going to a baptism, I think it is, I think so. And so I'll be in Wildwood, Missouri this Sunday for both the service and the Bible study. But this says, Savior of the Nations, come. Well, what does Advent mean?
It means to come.
Yes.
We look for his coming.
I think there's three comings.
Yes. In fact, Advent talks about one of the lessons has to do with his coming to Jerusalem, riding on a donkey on Palm Sunday, that coming. His coming to us in the sacraments of holy baptism and the Lord's Supper and through his gospel. His coming on the last day.
Yes. The way I normally say it is there's three comings. His coming in the Bethlehem, then his coming into your heart, and then his coming on Judgment Day. And you indicated those three also just in a little different way. So Advent is talking about his coming. Now, this week, the coming is kind of starting with the end, the Judgment Day type of things. Sort of thing, but why don't you read stanza one, okay, and then we'll kind of start.
Savior of the Nations, come. Virgin Son, make here your home. Marvel now, O heaven and earth, that the Lord chose such a birth.
You know, there are many scholars who will disagree that Isaiah 7:14 says that he's going to be born of a virgin. They think he's just been born of a woman. In fact, there are still theologians today that believe that Jesus was really the son of Joseph and Mary, not the Holy Spirit.
Oh, goodness, no, that's an important teaching.
Yes.
That we confess in the creeds.
Now, it's interesting, Savior of not Israel, but the nations. Now, this is really important because Paul makes a point that even though there was a lot of revelation in the Old Testament, the real mystery that was about to be made known didn't come to fruition until Jesus Christ. And that is that the Gentiles would be part of the kingdom of God.
Yeah, remember God promised Abraham
yes.
that through his descendant,
yes.
all the nations of the earth would be blessed. So even then, the promise was that he was coming for all nations.
Yeah, it's a question I like to ask people who aren't Lutheran. When you die and go to heaven, to whom will you give all the credit to for your salvation? And I have yet to find a Christian who doesn't say Jesus. They all say Jesus, which is the correct answer. And that shows that their faith is there. Even though their theology may think that they're saved by faith plus works or by a decision or some nonsense like that, they by saying that he gets all the credit means that they get no credit. It's a gift. And that's why, for me, the best metaphor is adoption, because a baby doesn't do anything to be adopted. So we're marveling here, it says, that he chose such a birth. I talked about that a little bit yesterday. Is Jesus God?
Absolutely.
So he knows all things?
Yes, of course.
How come
he's omniscient.
All right, then how come the text says he didn't know when the last day was coming?
Because he was speaking in his state of humiliation.
Excellent.
And
that's
he
exactly...
did not always use that omniscience.
Yes.
Like he would ask when he'd meet with the disciples for the first time, he'd ask them their name. Remember?
Yeah. Right.
So he would ask questions, and that's because he did not always use that all-knowingness.
Well, the attributes of God would mean he would never get sleepy, he would never get hungry, and he certainly couldn't die, all of which Jesus experienced.
Absolutely, yes.
The term humiliation actually comes from Philippians 2. He humbled himself. It doesn't mean humiliation in the sense of being embarrassed.
No.
It means humbling himself, and then God has highly...
exalted him.
Exalted. That's where we get the term exaltation.
Yes.
And yesterday I talked about a staircase going down.
Yes.
And a staircase going up. The going down is the Apostles' Creed, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried.
And the first step up is his descent into hell.
Yeah.
Ironically.
That's a good way of putting it, because you would think descent means still going down.
Well, he didn't go down to the suffer. He went down there to proclaim his victory.
He did suffer hell, but that was on the cross.
Right.
But the creed is referring to the Peter passage, which talks about proclaiming victory to the evil spirits in hell. All right, stanza 2.
This is a great verse.
Not by human flesh and blood, by the Spirit of our God was the Word of God made flesh, woman's offspring pure and fresh. So what is that saying? It was saying that the birth didn't come about because of just regular flesh and blood, like
right.
Joseph
no.
and Mary.
The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee.
Yes, and the way we put it in the creed, conceived by
the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary.
Right.
I just can't understand those Christians who believe that Mary was sinless.
No, I know. We were talking about that the other day. You know these churches, the Catholic churches, when you see the Church of the Immaculate Conception,
yes.
you know, that's not talking about Jesus' conception in
right.
Mary's womb. It's talking about Mary's conception in her mother's womb.
Yes. I did a study on that once, and there was a group of Roman Catholics who thought there was a sinless person all the way from Noah on, and that's where Mary came from.
Huh.
But,
no kidding.
That's just not, it's refuted by the Roman Catholic Church.
Well, she says herself, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
That's right. In fact, if Mary was born sinless, there was no big deal about Jesus being born sinless because he had a sinless mother and a sinless Holy. The real miracle would be Mary's birth and conception.
Right. Is that right?
And so the statues should be bigger to Mary than they should be to Jesus, which, by the way, they are in Mexico.
No kidding.
Yeah. Really. Yeah, there's the rosary is said thousands of times in Mexico by those folks who think that they're unworthy to come into the presence of God, so they have to go through his mother. That's just so sad.
Well, it's kind of, you know, that's kind of way people are. I mean, a lot of people think that way, you know. Well, I won't go to him. I'll go around him to his mother, and I'll get at him that way.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
But like, that's not the way God works.
No. He says, if you're going to school with the daughters of the President of the United States and you want to talk to him, you'll go through the daughter first.
But he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me.
That's good. All right, 3.
Yes. Here a maid was found with child, yet remained a virgin mild. In her womb this truth was shown, God was there upon his throne. How about that? You know what that's telling you?
Yeah.
It's telling you that little infant,
yes,
even in the womb, is no less than very God himself. Even in the womb.
I had that in the promo. What does it mean that in the womb he's on his throne? How would you explain that?
Well, he is. He's equal to God, yeah, even as he's a developing fetus, a developing baby.
That's right.
So, I mean, that's marvelous. Yeah. I mean, you know, when you think about that, you know, he's the Almighty God even in the womb.
Yeah. And
we think of it, you know, even the songs talk about, oh, the little Lord Jesus, the poor baby wakes. You know, this is God. I mean, he's
right.
he's not to be pitied.
You know, Issues Etc. yesterday was talking about one of their questions, that one of the myths people have of Lutheranism, they believe that we think that nothing was going on at all in the Christian church for hundreds of centuries, until Luther came along and refound the church.
The
point Issues was making, no, there was great Christian belief and teaching.
Absolutely.
Throughout that time.
Absolutely. These guys were not, you know, they were not dummies.
No.
Very wise works were being written by these, you know.
Well, we're reading one of them. Who wrote this?
This is Luke. Oh, you mean this him?
Yes.
Let me look. Oh, Ambrose.
What year?
Ambrose of Milan. In the year 340, he lived from 340 to 394, 397.
Yes.
You know, St. Ambrose. That's St. Ambrose Church down on the hill.
Yeah, yeah.
You
right.
know, and of course, he was very closely associated with Augustine.
Oh, really?
St. Augustine, right.
Okay. Well, this is a wonderful theological hymn.
Absolutely.
And you see who also made the arrangement in the German?
Martin Luther.
Yeah. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
No, I didn't either till I read this. So there's so much. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to one of the new books Concordia Publishing House is going to be putting out. It's going to look at every hymn and tell you the background of it.
Oh, wow. That could give you all sorts of stuff.
Oh, like when was Silent Night written? Under what circumstances and such
it
like that?
That gives you plenty of Advent programs for years.
Oh, boy. At Emmanuel Lutheran, all of that. Where, by the way, I'm doing the Bible study today at 11 a.m. So if you want to be at the Bible study, 9733 Olive Boulevard in Olivet, Missouri. Just go kind of to Lindbergh and then turn right or go east about a mile.
Kind of to Lindbergh, huh? Kind of to Lindbergh.
Yeah, yeah. And now you got me thinking, what was I going to say about that? 9733. Oh, you shouldn't interrupt.
You're giving a Bible study.
Yeah, but there was something I wanted to say about that. Well, it'll come to me later. All right, 4. Then stepped forth the Lord of all from his pure and kingly hall, God of God, yet fully man. His
heroic
course began. Okay.
God Isn't of God, this... yet fully man.
Yeah. So the Nicene Creed really talks quite a bit about this, where it talks about in Jesus Christ, who is God of God.
Light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made.
Not made.
Yes.
Being of one
substance with the Father,
by whom
all things are made.
So the word substance is used in theology incorrectly in the Roman Catholic Church when they talk about the Lord's Supper being one of transubstantiation. And the word substance means the essence of something. And so what they think is that the essence of bread and wine disappear and is replaced by the essence of Christ's body and blood. We don't agree with that because we follow 1 Corinthians 10, where it's very clear the bread we break is the body of Christ, and the wine is the blood. So we get all four elements.
Right, right.
So we think transubstantiation is a philosophical theory that is in error because we don't try to explain how God does any more than we explain how could God be in with and under that burning bush without being the burning bush, you know, on Mount Sinai.
Right.
So it's very simple.
Yes.
But here, one substance, God was there upon his throne. When it says one substance with the Father, that means whatever makes the Father God is what makes Jesus God. And that's why in Hebrews, the first chapter, I preached on it yesterday in chapel here. And one of the things I found interesting was how it compares Jesus to the angels. And it says, no angel was said, this is my begotten Son. It shows how he is so far superior to the angels. And, of course, we would continue and say, there's no angel who is of one substance with the Father.
That's right.
And anytime you see that in the Bible where it says, and the angel of the Lord, and then he does something of a divine nature.
That's Christ.
That's Christ in his pre-incarnate state. So that's really good. All right. Verse 5.
Verse 5. God the Father was his source. Back to God, he ran his course. Into hell, his road went down, back then to his throne and crown. There it talks about his descent into hell right there. Or is that talking about the hell that he suffered on the cross?
I would believe that's the hell on the cross. Because God the Father was a source. That means he came from God the Father, only begotten. That's what we would say there. Back to God, he ran his course. Remember when he goes to Jerusalem, it has that Greek word de'ai. He says, it is necessary.
Yes, right.
For necessary. me to go to Jerusalem. And Peter said, oh, don't worry, I'll protect you. Well, get thee behind me.
Satan, right.
Yes. So the course he ran was back to God through first going to hell,
right.
Because that was his mission. What was his mission?
To go to the cross.
And why is that important?
To redeem all mankind.
And how is that done?
By his suffering and death on the cross. Paying for all of our sins. In fact, the sins of all history, the sins of the whole world. Atoning for every last sin that had ever been committed.
That is really important in the sense that we don't say, if you believe in Jesus, your sins will be forgiven. We say, your sins have been forgiven. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And we have a gift better than the lottery, and the only task of the church is to distribute it for free, by grace.
It's a great privilege.
Verse stanza 6. For you are the Father's Son, who in flesh the victory won, by your mighty power make whole all our ills of flesh and soul. Now, who in flesh the victory won?
Was that against Gnosticism? Was that against, do you think that?
Yeah, where he only appeared to be a human being.
Right.
That heresy.
Was that the point that was being made there in that verse, that in flesh?
Well, you see, why did it have to be in flesh? Because in Revelation 5, there's a strong angel who cannot open up seals because he's an angel. It has to be a human being. And so one can say that in his flesh, he won the victory. I think that's what's being referring to here. And by your mighty power, make whole all our life and flesh and soul. Now, here's a question I'd ask. Okay, did just the humanity die, or did the divinity die?
No, God died. Yeah. God died on that cross.
Yeah,
and an amazing thing is he had to actually will himself to die.
That's right.
No man takes my life from me. I have the power to take it, to lay it down, and the power to take it up again.
Yes.
So he actually chose the time and the place, the very moment of his death.
When he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit,
right,
and it is finished. And it says he gave up the spirit.
Yeah, and now, it says he spoke that in a loud voice, not the typical victim of asphyxiation as most on the cross.
I use that because right then the centurion says, truly this must be the Son of God.
That's right.
Because he recognizes only God has power over life and death. As many crucifixions as he attended, and all the criminals wanted to die because of pain, none of them could.
Right.
But this one did. Stanza 7.
From the manger, newborn light shines in glory through the night. Darkness there no more resides. In this light, faith now abides.
Yes, from the manger, newborn light shines in glory through the night. Now, when the shepherds, they didn't find the manger because there was a bright light coming from it. It doesn't mean that, do they?
No, you might find it that way on the Christmas cards, but...
So why the word light?
Well, he's the light. He's the true light that has come into the world, as John talks about in his first chapter, remember?
Yes. And notice what line 3.
Light that overcomes all the darkness.
In fact, look at line 3.
Yeah.
Darkness there no more resides. In this light, faith now abides.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate we're on the radio because I'll show you my pen.
Oh, yeah. You got a pen light.
Yes. Got this from my grandkids and... When you flip it once, you just use it for writing. But if you flip it the second time, you can still use it for writing, but a pen... You know where I use this?
Writing in the dark.
Well, it is for police and such, you know, when they're outside making a ticket. But sometimes the car is parked, and you know how hard it is to find the key to open the door. So I use this light.
Yeah.
You know. So I find that interesting. You use the light in order to get through the lock. And that's, of course, heaven.
Ah.
Heaven.
That's a good illustration.
Yeah, yesterday on Issues, I had a busy week. I preached on Thursday once on Saturday, twice on Sunday, once on Monday, and then did also the Sunday school lesson on Issues, etc.
And you use the same sermon for all four times.
Right, even at the same place, because people can't really, oh, that's really,
really
new.
Really busy time. Yeah.
But yesterday's Sunday school lesson was about Jacob and the dream of the staircase.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I found that interesting. The last verse simply is, glory to the Father, sing, glory to the Son, our King, glory to the Spirit be, now and through eternity. So are you using this
hymn
this Sunday?
Of course. Can't wait to use it. Absolutely. I love Advent. Absolutely love it.
And what's your times
worship? Saturday, we have a service Saturday at 5 p.m., for those that can't make the Sunday service, Saturday at 5 p.m., and then Sunday at 9 a.m. Oh, don't forget, we've got Thanksgiving Day service at 9:30, and this is at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, 8646 New Sappington Road. We're just south of the Watson-New Sappington intersection, and here in Crestwood. We'd love to have you visit us for Thanksgiving or the following Sunday, any Sunday.
And so not Thanksgiving evening, but Thanksgiving Day.
Thanksgiving Day at 9:30.
9:30, that's wonderful. And then the following week, what's happening on Wednesday?
Advent services.
That's right. So you're going to be doing four sermons too.
Oh, yes.
And I'm going to be at Wildwood this weekend. I'll tell you more about it as we get, I guess there's only one more day. And so tune in tomorrow as we're going to talk about, from a Lutheran theology, what happened in Ferguson. I'm Tom Baker, Mark Smith. God bless.
Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.